Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. You know, we believe that all 800,000 words in the Bible are in a specific place for a specific reason with a specific meaning. God is serious about his desire for us to follow his instructions.
Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power," did you catch that? "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen."
All power, all nations. Hallelujah. Oh, I am with you always.
Amen.
Wow. Okay. As you know, this passage of scripture is referred to as the Great Commission. It's not the great suggestion or the great challenge. It's a very specific directive that you and I are to, well, we're to be about the business, his business, of soul winning. Now, I have a question for you, for you, me, each of us. Here it is. Is the devil using you to keep someone out of heaven? Now, that's kind of an imposing question. Yet I realized in reading Genesis 20 that it can happen to the best of God's people. In reading chapter 20 of Genesis, we find Abraham and Sarah living temporarily in Gerar when King Abimelech takes Sarah into his harem because he thinks she's Abraham's sister, not his wife. However, God appears to the king in a dream and tells him he's a dead man because he has taken the wife of another man.
In Genesis 20, starting with verse 4 and going through verse 7, the Classic Amplified Bible says, "But Abimelech had not come near her, so he said, Lord, will you slay a people who are just and innocent? Did not the man tell me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In integrity of heart and in innocency of hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know you did this in the integrity of your heart, for it was I who kept you back and spared you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not give you occasion to touch her. So now restore the man to the man, his wife, for he is a prophet and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you do not restore her to him, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours." King Abimelech had stumbled into something not kind of unawares that he was sinning, and God knew it. Yet wrong is wrong, even if someone is unaware of it. Isn't that the case and the cause of so many problems in the world today?
You know, honey, that makes me think about an article I read or a quote I read by Jane Fonda, person I'm not very fond of. Okay. You know, she was talking about her husbands. The magazine that I was reading, she was asked how she ended up with her husbands. She said, well, it always starts with sex and leads to love. I thought, really? I found that deeply disturbing because that's not at all the case for a successful marriage. Jane Fonda being a prime example, considering how many times she's been married. But see, really, that's beside the point. But her words can influence millions of people who don't know the truth.
That is so true. But actually, if we go back to King Abimelech and Abraham, he's disturbed with God's prophet. And truthfully, we can see his point. This is what he says to Abraham in Genesis 20, verse 9. "Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me what ought not to be done to anyone. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you see in us that justified you in doing such a thing as this? Wow. King Abimelech confronts Abraham to explain why he would bring such a curse on him. For the scripture goes on to say that God closed up the wombs of the women in the land because of this act against one of his own. But more importantly, Abraham's answer provoked our thinking. For he says to King Abimelech in Genesis 20, verses 11 and 12, and Abraham said, because I thought surely there is no reverence of God or fear of God in this place, and they will slay me because of my wife. But truly she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not of my mother. And she became my wife. I wonder how many times we fail to represent the Lord because we fear there is no fear of God in the place where we are. The Message translation of Genesis 20, verse 11 says, Abraham said, I just assumed that there was no fear of God in this place and that they'd kill me to get my wife. How often do we allow the devil to influence us to make or assume that the person would not be open to God? It's the devil's tactic to keep us silent when we should be bringing people to the Lord.
You know, honey, it's interesting, too. We're not going to teach it today, but sometime soon we will. The end of Genesis 20, Abraham prays, and the wombs of all Abimelech's family and his aides, and they were all open. He prayed for that to happen. Chapter 21, first verse, it says, God opened Sarah's womb.
Right.
See, when Abraham did something good for Abimelech and his people, God did something good for Abraham and Sarah. Anyhow.
I remembered learning a valuable lesson as a very young Christian. I was maybe 26 years old and only been saved a couple of years, and I had a hairdresser who cut my hair so well, you know, that I just couldn't resist going to her. But she was always telling me about her sinful exploits. She'd tell me about her wild weekends, and it just grieved me to hear about such sin. One day I'm sitting there in her chair. She's going on. When the Lord dropped in my spirit to invite her to church, my immediate response was, are you crazy, Lord? I mean, you know, she'd never be interested in church. But the spirit of the Lord persisted. And finally, I just blurted out, have you ever thought about going to church? At which she stopped dead in her tracks and burst into tears. I'm like, whoa. Come to find out, she had lost her small son in a swimming pool accident. And I think she'd never forgiven herself for it. And later on, in years past that, I was attending church, and I saw her walking in with somebody, and I got a chance to speak to her. But you know, I mean, the point of it is this. When the Lord stirs us to be able to reach out and talk to somebody, that's the day we should never question him, are you crazy, Lord? He knows exactly what's going on. No matter how young you might be in the Lord, we just need to never assume that any lost soul would not want to know the answer to their problems. So the point of it is we really need to share the good news with others. And the Lord, if we are sensitive, will prompt us when to do it.
Hallelujah.
Growing up spiritually.
That's exactly right. You know, we learned the Roman road.
That's it.
Leading unbelievers to the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There have been millions of sinners born again as they traveled the Roman road. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
And Romans 6, verse 23, the first part says, the wages of sin is death.
The last part of Romans 6:23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Romans 10:13. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved.
And Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with a mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation.
You know, I remember being taught to, when I did the Romans Road, to kind of throw in a little Revelation 3:20.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Which says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him." Now, you probably already knew how to lead someone to the Lord via the Roman road, but it never hurts to hear it again.
It's true.
There are some other things that we feel like we should talk about before ending today's call. First, the way we treat people, the way we treat people we like least is the way we love God the most.
Mm.
Did you get that?
That's good. Say it again, though.
The way we treat people we like the least is the way we love God the most. God needs to love us as he loves. We need to love others as he loves us.
That's it. Second, the biggest hindrance to evangelism today is a hesitancy to get involved, perhaps to move outside our comfort zone. Sometimes we forget how important and what's important to God.
And third, it's important to understand that we are, in fact, our brother's keeper.
Fourth, being hesitant to share our faith because of what the person might think, like what happened to me and my hairdresser, when in fact we should be more concerned about what God thinks than what we think or don't think. And fifth, understanding. Go ahead.
Understanding that being able to freely share our faith without fear of persecution is a great honor, privilege, and blessing, and one that we should never take for granted.
That is so true. And six, understanding that sharing our faith makes us wise, regardless of our educational experiences or accomplishments or anything else we've done. In Proverbs 11, verse 30, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "For the fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is a tree of life. And he who is wise captures human lives for God as a fisher of men. He gathers and receives them for eternity."
And seventh, we will be recognized as we rejoice over those who we've led to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. Living Bible. "For what is it we live for that gives us hope and joy and is our proud reward and crown? It is you. Yes, you will bring us much joy as we stand together before our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back again. For you are our trophy and our joy."
Mm.
I want to change something, the question we ask at the beginning of the call. See, instead of asking, "Is the devil using you to keep someone out of heaven?" we're now going to ask, "How is God using you, me, us? How is God using us to get people into heaven?" That's a more positive question.
That's a good question.
And that's a good question. One that you can think about. Hallelujah. Go to HaroldHarry.com. If you've been blessed by the teaching, click on the button that says "Sow a Seed" and just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.